Here is TSN Hockey Insider Dave Poulin joining us in the Gabriel Pizza Hotline this morning. How you doing, Dave?
Very well, gentlemen. How are you this morning?
We are excellent. So things are set to begin. Before we get into your thoughts on the bubble and all the hockey news from the weekend, I did want to talk to you about a person very familiar from your time with the Leafs and certainly just being around the NHL. Eddie Schack passed away at the age of 83 over the weekend. Just from your, I'm sure, meetings with Eddie Schack over the years, what are your memories of him?
I think character is the best word, JR. You know, and that's what everyone, you know, refers to when they talk about Eddie Schack, and just wherever you bumped into him, the energy that he brought to the group. And I think the way that people watched him around in amusement, I was one morning, totally unrelated. I was on a ferry over the island in Vancouver while I was recruiting at Notre Dame, and I had a real good close friend with me, and we were crossing, and Tiger Williams and Eddie Schack were on the ferry. And to watch the people around them respond to them, and to watch the way they interacted and the way they, I guess, made everyone feel like they were a part of the team, a part of the group, a part of the locker room and telling stories. And that's what he did. And he was a great storyteller and, you know, will be dearly missed by the fans in Toronto who were pretty spoiled because they had him around for a great run.
Pooley, when you broke in, I'm assuming there were still a bunch of characters in the NHL. Gosh, even when we were in Washington, how's that dynamic? And hey, players are players. They're very dedicated now. But has the ship kind of sailed on the Eddie Schack kind of personalities?
Oh, I think it has, Simmer. I think for many, many reasons, social media being one of them. But when you do get, it's interesting, when you get a personality, and I'm going to give you an example of someone you know firsthand, when you get a personality that's a little more outgoing and ties the locker room together in a different way and has it, you know, by NHL standards, a little step out personality, he can be a really valuable addition. And the person I'm talking about is now in Winnipeg, and that's Dylan DeMello.
Yeah.
And I think when you watched him go into Ottawa, and you know, we were there doing games and just watch the impact he had, particularly on the younger guys, and not that Dylan is old by any means, but then he went to Winnipeg into a locker room that was, I think, wrapped pretty tight and pretty intense, and to bring a personality into it that can loosen people up. You'll talk to guys now and they'll mention that as a different attribute, whereas in the past you tried to curb it. I think now you try and encourage it and encourage what it might bring out in the other players. So I think it has passed for a lot of reasons, and not necessarily in a good way, because I think keeping a locker room loose and picture what the guys will be going through now, having a little entertainment and a little, you know, somebody to maybe take the edge off a little bit within these bubbles, I think will be incredibly important right now.
Do you think that players right now, Dave, as they have arrived in Toronto and Edmonton, are feeling nervous at all about just personal health, safety, how this is all going to play out? Not in terms of the upcoming playoffs, just their, from a personal point of view.
I do, JR, and I think that's human nature, and it's the unknown. And, you know, I can tell you just, you know, from personal experience, when everything started to change here and we were so highly encouraged to stay at home, just the first time going to the grocery store, when you were standing in line at the grocery store and you had a mask on and you had rubber gloves on and the person said, you know, you're next. And what were you going to expect when you walked in the grocery store? Well, multiply that, you know, by a significant multiplier. And what is these little exhibition games that they're playing starting tomorrow, I think are much more than that. It's going to be, you know, you've practiced against your own guys and you've even eased into that in small groups and at larger groups. But what's it going to be like when you bang into somebody for real for the first time? And what's it going to be like when you get into a scrum for the first time? And you know, what's it going to be like when there's adversity, when a real heavy favorite in this play-in round loses the first game? And how is that going to be handled? But I think there is trepidation, but it's as much because of just the unknown of what we've gone through. And we've dealt with a lot of unknowns in the last 4 months. And, you know, a lot of us at a little more advanced ages that, you know, had seen a lot and have seen things for the first time. And we're seeing things on such a broader scale because everyone is viewing things in the same manner across the world. It's not just, you know, specific to our sport or specific to our country or specific to, you know, our neighborhood or our family. it's looked at the same way. And so I think these guys going in, there's just going to be a little, you know, a little bit of a different feeling, and they'll have to get through some things early. And those first games, I think, will be really important to set the tone for everybody. Picture if you don't play that first exhibition day and you're watching for the first time and you're all gathered in your lounge or whatever, and you're watching and sort of saying, okay, how's that going? You know? And so it may be an advantage to jump right in and play that first game and not worry about all those things.
Do you think there'll be a lot of players, Pooley, that'll look at this, say, I've come out of the United States, where by the time I get into the bubble, the confidence and the way the NHL set it up, that you can mentally kind of check that one, but as you kind of pointed out, and then you'll quickly transition to, am I actually confident in my own physical ability to go right into what is basically a short-term playoff now?
Yes. Yeah, I think that's, you know, a twofold question. And you know, a lot of guys are coming out of hot spots, and, you know, I have three daughters that live in the States and communicate with them regularly, and both have seen their cities respectively in Philadelphia and Chicago go through, you know, areas of high contest, and not only with the pandemic, but with all of the, you know, social issues that have gone on in these respective cities. And some of the guys, you know, were very involved in that. Take a Tyler Seguin down in Texas was very involved. But picture Dallas in themselves, they've got to be thinking, they almost survive their own state in order to get into the bubble. From a security and safety standpoint, the bubble is their new home, and it's going to be looked at as much more secure than anything they were dealing with in their respective cities, the Florida guys in Tampa. You know, and I think the Tampa guys, in talking to people down there, what happened there, they were the first team, I believe, to have three guys test positive and two members of the training staff. And they said that was an incredible wake-up, not only for their players, but for the organization and the way they had to look at it and the way they had to immediately tighten up if this thing had any chance of working. And, you know, I maintained early on that if we could get to the bubble, then this had a chance of happening. It appears that, you know, as people checked in over the weekend, everybody's in. Victor Hedman was one notable absence from Tampa, and apparently that's a family situation, but he will miss the exhibition game, but will be joining. And other than that, the guys are there, and you know, now you've got to wait a few days and say, okay, how does it settle when they're there? You know, as they test through and they get the negative test back. And I always confuse myself with negative and positive, because negative usually, you know, is a bad connotation, and now it's a good connotation. So, you know, as they ease into that, I think it'll, you know, it'll be more and more comfortable for them.
With TSN Hockey Insider Dave Poulin. Dave, we saw over the weekend, I think, a first kind of viewing. The NHL put out some stuff, and various media members as well in Toronto and Edmonton, and how it's going to lay itself out with chain link. You know, everything's, you know, is under wraps. You know, blacked out chain link fence. There's the inside and the outside. What is your confidence level that this whole thing is going to hold?
Well, I think, you know, as I sort of section it off, and now we're going back full fledged. Tomorrow will be my first day in the studio, and you know, through this entire process, as we start up with, you know, That's Hockey with Gino and get going on the shows and the Sports Center and the coverage. But I do have a lot of confidence in it, and I have confidence because of the detail that they've put in. If you've seen some of the videos that have surfaced, there was a really strong video posted by Calgary of their own medical facilities within their setup. So this is just exclusive to Calgary and the way they'd set up their medical section for their team. And you're like, holy smokes, this is tremendous detail. So credit goes out to the NHL, to the respective teams, specifically to Toronto and Edmonton. But, you know, I'll give credit to the other host cities that were vying. I think a lot of really good stuff, guys, came out of Vegas. And, you know, that's why they were the leader early. They presented a plan. So essentially, now you've got all the brain power of the casino management companies and the high-end hotel management companies and the detail they put into it. So the NHL looked at that, and that was why, you know, by all accounts, Vegas was a leading early candidate. But then the league, when they realized couldn't go there for medical reasons, they also took all that information and all the model and kept passing it to the other teams and saying, here's why Vegas is the leader. And the other teams, you know, begged, borrowed, and stole it and put it into their own plans. And some of the detail, you know, I know that players were posting as they checked into their rooms that there were pictures of their own families within their rooms, nicely framed. And, you know, and so not only did you have detail, but you had a variety of people involved. In order for that itself, the point I just mentioned, you had some different people involved, not just hockey people that say, what would hockey players want? You had a lot of life people that say, what would life people want?
Yeah.
And that's as important as anything in this process.
How much does it help right now, Pooley? We're in the middle of summer and you're not locked in a hotel. Now, I know there's a bubble, but the simple fact you'll be able to get out mentally and maybe exercise a little bit, run around the lake, or if you're out in Edmonton for an athlete versus feeling like you're hunkered into a hotel for 3 months.
I'll go right back to personal experience in the first few days, you know, when we were dealing with the shutdown after the 12th of March. How critical were walks to all of us as we walked through our neighborhoods and, you know, and every day was a 2-hour walk and we were walking 5 or 6 miles a day. And it was so important, and the weather wasn't great, but it was so important to get outside. So by the same context, it's the variety of things they've been able to offer both inside and outside. And I don't think that's that important through this play-in round simmer, because this is going to fly by. This is 8 or 9 days. On off days, you know, when we played, it was clearly off days, you know, between series. And early on, you wanted to watch the other games and see what was going on right away. And then that sort of ebbed a little bit, maybe through round two. And then when it got down to 3 and 4 and there were only, you know, a handful of teams left, you picked up your watching again. So I think early on, it's not going to be that significant to the guys. They're not going to want to go out or leave. They'll kind of stay close to home. But this play-in round is over in 9 days. I mean, it's going to fly by. And, you know, there's going to be lots to talk about. Guys are going to be watching other series. They're going to be watching guys they know on other teams. They'll be communicating with close people on other teams. If you've got a really close friend in the East and you're in the West, you may be texting them saying, you know, how was last night? How's it going? Anything we should know? You know, things like that will be shared amongst the players. And a lot of the players are so close for a variety of reasons now, you know, whether it be they have the same management group or they've played in world championships together or Olympics together. And so you've got those relationships, I think, that'll transfer information. But I think the excitement of the hockey initially, I would imagine it would be that round two would be when it would be start to drag. That's when, you know, all of these extracurricular things. And then the smartness of moving rounds 3 and 4 together. If you're in the East and you get through round two, you're moving to Edmonton and you've got a whole new environment to deal with. And if you're in the West, yes, you're staying home, but you're one of the final two teams in the West and you have a chance to play for the Stanley Cup. So I think the way it sets up, it will have some downtimes, it will have some drag times, and that's when all of these extracurriculars will be important. But for the most part, particularly early, hockey will rule.
With TSN Hockey Insider Dave Poulin, and you mentioned how quickly this play-in round, this best-of-5 is going to go. How critical do you think the first game in all these series and those best-of-5s is going to be?
Jared, that's when it turns to the locker room. However the first game goes, that's when you turn to the locker room and say, you know, like if Chicago loses that first game to Edmonton, that's when the veterans in the Blackhawks lean on experience and say, okay, we've lost the first game before. Now, you know, I had the experience of playing in 3 out of 5 series. These guys haven't. These are shorter series, but they've had tournament experience. They've lost games in, you know, maybe in world championships early in a round but it's really going to be the locker room, the mood, the mentality, the coaches, because the temptation to overcoach after having 4 months off, I can only imagine some of the personalities I know, guys, that would have an incredible temptation to overcoach no matter what happens. And I think, you know, the assistants are going to have to be critical to back a head coach off at certain points. And it might be particularly after that first loss. And there are going to be a couple of teams that win these first games that aren't the higher seeded teams. There are. Now, they may not win the series, but they're going to win the first games. And I think the two series of note to watch here both happen to be the same numerically, and that's the 11s versus the 6s. I think in the West, Arizona versus Nashville is a tough matchup for Nashville, and I think the Rangers versus Carolina, maybe for different reasons, and Simmer, you being an old goalie would love it, but I think the three-headed monster for the Rangers in net will be a factor, and I'm not sure that Carolina has the goaltending, and I know that the Rangers were 4-0 against them, but I think those 11-6 series will be of real, real interest as this plays out.
I actually think all the way back to 1988 and Jim Schoenfeld in New Jersey used a rotation of goaltenders. And would you look at teams like that, both with the goaltenders and in a short series, just as far as an overall lineup, that you might be willing to use your depth or change things up a little bit quicker? And not even as a negative. Maybe even you win game one and you roll back with a different starter.
It may depend on when your back-to-back falls in this first series, Simmer. Because for some teams, the back-to-back falls between games two and three. And, you know, for some, it's three and four. But some are definitely going to play back-to-back. Some are definitely going to play three out of four in this opening series. And so if that's the case, and you have two goaltenders, you know, in Boston, you're obviously very, very comfortable with your tandem of Raskin and Halak. You're going to, you know, that wouldn't surprise me whatsoever for Rask to win the first game and then come back with Halak in the second game.
Brad Marchand is never shy with an opinion. Said yesterday after the Bruins wrapped up and prepared to fly to Toronto, he says it's going to be really sloppy hockey. Talked about ice conditions. Now, he did say, look, it's the same for both teams, and everybody's had the same amount of time to prepare, et cetera, et cetera. What's your feel on the type of hockey we're going to see, especially early on in these playoffs and play-ins?
Well, I'll address ice first because I've talked to a couple people on that side of it. And they feel they're going to be okay even with the volume of games because there's no fans in the building. And so they can control the humidity so well. And without fans, and if you think about it, when you go into a building early in the morning for the morning skate, often you're bundled up and you're like, holy man, it's cold in here. And that's what it's going to be like. And, you know, you don't have 18,000 people heating the building up. So that part of it. But as I've watched these highlight packages come through, JR, it's kind of funny because I watched one from Calgary in an exhibition game, and it was spectacular offense, like overpassing and empty net goals. And you were like, holy smokes, is this what it's going to be like? Because it looked like summer hockey. And then the one coach that complained about his lack of offense, I thought was really comical. And he was like, wow, we couldn't score out there. Either our defense is really good or, you know, I don't know if we've got enough offense. And that was John Cooper in Tampa. And, you know, after their first scrimmage, he was like, oh, man, either our defense is really good or, you know, we've got to get our scores going. I'm like, okay, John, your scores are going to be fine. You know, Kucherov is going to score points. Braden Point is going to score. You've got lots of offense down there with Steven Stamkos, you know, who has been banged up a little bit through this. But there's certainly lots of offense there. So I think the offense will win the day early, as Brad Marchand said. I really do. And then things will tighten up quickly. And that might be that post-first game, post-second game adjustment that you're talking about, Simmer.
Do you think we might end up seeing a little more old-school messaging from coaches, similar to that, to try to create a sense of urgency and try to get guys, now Tampa Bay doesn't matter, but in the play-ins where it's like, hey, listen, again, this means business here, and I got to get your attention right off the hop.
See, it's easy to say that, and you know, and as you're watching teams come back, you know, and obviously I live in Toronto, so I listen to a lot of what's here. It's all about the attention and detail to defense that the coaches are preaching. But what I don't understand is why that changes for one team during a 4-month layoff. Like, they haven't executed it. They've never done it before. But just because you watch film and you know that has to be the emphasis doesn't make it the emphasis. It's fine to tell the players that. It's fine to tell the players and show the players video and communicate with them on what you want them to do. But I don't see how one team coming out of this 4-month layoff has an advantage because they've noted better than the other team that they have to pay attention to defense. You know, it's like we've talked about it. We know it's an emphasis. Well, of course, they've always talked about it and they've always known it's an emphasis. So I like psychologically how coaches are trying to spin how advantageous this 4-month layoff could have been for their team, but why for them versus the other 23 teams playing in this series.
I did want to ask you about what the situation in Arizona, what's going on with John Chayka. That was bizarre over the weekend where he apparently has terminated his contract, and the Coyotes put out a statement yesterday in which it was sharply worded. We'll put it that way. It's not a typical statement where there's a team and an executive that have gone their separate ways, where the team writes about the executive the way that they did. What's your read on what's happened in Arizona?
Boy, oh boy, this is a different one, guys. And you know, this is a young general manager in John Chayka, who was very well thought of, and you know, a general manager of the future in terms of his use of analytics, but also his balance and the way he did that. I think this came as a big surprise to everybody, but there's still a lot of questions to be answered. Steve Sullivan taking over as interim GM, and an ownership change is very, very significant here with the new ownership and his son very involved. And, you know, also a new CEO and president, and Xavier Gutierrez. And so different personnel, different people involved. And it does, they've alluded to the fact that there was something, an offer made or something that may not have dealt with hockey, that may have had some NBA implications in it. And so there are teams with multiple ownership groups who do own NBA teams and NHL teams. So you don't know if that's a fact. There's a lot of information here. The timing is very strange, as was the wording of the press release. It was very, very different.
It was very different. It was.
They said he quit on the team, which, boy, that's strong, strong wording.
Absolutely. Do you think in any way it has an impact on the team as it prepares for the upcoming play-in series?
I don't, only knowing Rick Tocchet as well as I do. And, you know, he will eliminate outside distractions with that group. And he will, you know, he will us against the world with Arizona, which is how they have to play against Nashville anyway. They're not the favorites in this. So, hey, let's just go out and play and not worry about what's happening around us.
All right. You mentioned you're back in studio after a long, long layoff coming up as soon as tomorrow. Kind of lay out how TSN television is going to attack the upcoming playoffs.
Well, we're going to break the games down. Obviously, you're starting games at noon, so you know you'll have some post-game, couple of pre-game hits to do, and just breaking it down. And we've divided our staff up, you know, east-west. We've got Ray Ferraro out west. We've got Craig Button out west. Mike Johnson, myself, Jamie McLennan in the east. And Jamie's always focused on the goaltenders specifically. And so we're excited to be getting back to it, guys. We really are, and looking very, very forward to it. But it'll be fun to get in studio and to be talking hockey as hockey occurs, not what we think about hockey.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think we're all thinking the same way. Be good to see you back on the TV tomorrow. Always appreciate the time, Dave. And we'll look forward to catching up with you again down the road.
Okay, guys. Have a great day. Thanks.